take your Bible this evening and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Why don't you stand with me real quick, if you will. Starting with verse number 1, 1 Samuel chapter 30. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, and their sons, and their daughters were taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Now go down to verse 6. It says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself and the Lord his God." We're going to talk about that. Encourage yourself. And let's pray. Father, I need your help as I teach tonight. We live in days of distress. The devil is working overtime in regard to discouragement among God's people. But Father, we have you. And then God, you gave us the ability to encourage ourselves. It's proven here in the scripture. David, one of your finest servants, encouraged himself. Tonight, might we be stronger, better, and Father, might we serve you longer and more thoroughly, because we learn how to encourage ourselves. Holy Ghost of God, do something supernatural in this place. And I think the result of it, Lord, would be that we would not just come to church and hear a lesson, but we would go home and live it. Help us not to reject it. Help us to receive it and live it, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Encourage yourself. Here's the story. David and his men have been out of town taking care of military duties. They were returning to their hometown, a place called Ziklag, Ziklag. When they had been out of town, their enemy, the Amalekites, had invaded their hometown, attacked it, and burnt the city. The Amalekites had kidnapped all the children and stolen all of the women. Of course, the men, they had been off at military duties. They burned the city down. When David and his men arrived back from a distance, they could see the smoke. They could smell the flame. They had been walking, but they picked up their pace, and it wasn't long until every man in the army was racing toward the city of Ziklag because they knew their families were there. When David and his men arrived at the city of Ziklag, they were devastated. If you were listening to the words that were used, it said the men, they fell to the ground and they wept until they couldn't weep anymore because of the devastation. I mean, their children had been kidnapped, their wives had been stolen, their city had been burned to the ground, if they had businesses and their homes, and it was all gone. So I want you to picture. Now, I want you to understand David's men. He had a group of men that went with him called David's Mighty Men. David's men and David's army, these weren't wimps. These weren't twerps. These were men. These were tough men. These weren't even men of our generation. They were men of the real generation where men were men. But these men were so devastated with what happened to them that they fell to the ground. And the Bible says they wept until they could weep no more. They were so distressed. David's family was taken, just like everybody else's. The Bible says that David was greatly distressed. I feel sorry for David here. The Bible says that the men became angry with David over all of it. Now, I want you all to understand, if you're ever in leadership, you're going to get in trouble for things that you didn't have any control over. But if you really want to be a leader, you're just going to have to take it. That's the way it works. But the men needed somebody to be mad at, so they're turning on David now, like, "This is all your fault." But the events were out of David's control. They were so upset, they said, "We're going to stone you, David." Now, I want you to picture it. Everything that happened to David also. I mean, David's wife was gone. David's children were gone. David's home had been burned. David's friends were gone. Now, when everybody should have been encouraging, when all those men should have been encouraging each other, all the men turned on David. So David is all alone. Every man turns on him and he's all alone. Now what do you do when there's nobody to encourage you? Well, you do the only thing you can do. You encourage yourself. You encourage yourself. And if you were listening, it said this in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. That's very interesting to me. David encouraged himself. Hey, this is something that the saved do 10 times better than the lost could ever do. You say, well, how in the world does a saved person encourage themselves so much better, or how do they encourage themselves so much better than a lost? Well, that's because within you is one that will help you when you're alone. I'm going to show you, and I hope you'll understand this. You know, the ones who learn to encourage themselves are the ones who get to be in leadership eventually. If you can encourage you, you'll end up leading someone. Because not everybody will encourage themselves like they ought to. Leaders need to encourage themselves so they can then be an encouragement to others. If you're a leader in our church, let me tell you something. Learn to encourage yourself. Why? Well, then others need your encouragement. Sunday school teacher, learn to encourage yourself. Hey, dads, learn to encourage yourself. You say, well, I don't feel like I get support. I don't feel like that's there. Learn to encourage yourself. You need to learn how to encourage yourself. Hey, you say, explain it deeper. Well, we're very good at discouraging ourselves. It may be that if you just do the opposite of discouraging, we can figure that out. We can, hey, and let me tell you, Christians are not constantly depressed. There are times that you'll go through and you'll have a down spirit, but Christians should not be depressed all the time. If you're constantly dealing with it, there's something broken there. Sometimes we think way too negatively. We get on the negative and it's just like a snowball. Slide to the bottom of a valley of despair. Christians have got to learn how to encourage themselves. Your pastor can't be with you all day long every day. Now, he should be an encourager. But you are going to have to learn to encourage yourself. Your Sunday school teacher can't always be there to encourage you. There are times when you will need to encourage yourself. We don't have church 7 days a week. So that means, and I think people come to church and they get encouragement. And that's good. That we should. The pastor should encourage. And the Sunday school teacher should encourage. And the bus captain should encourage. And church should encourage. But you can't have those people with you, and you can't be in that setting all the time. And so God would say to you exactly what I'm sure he said to David. I wonder if David is thinking, my wife got taken, my kids got taken, my house got burnt down, now all my friends have turned on me. He couldn't find anybody to turn to. He said, what do I do? And God said, encourage yourself. And he did, because the Bible says David encouraged himself. The same God that encouraged David is your God. Hey, and you say, well, preacher, I get encouragement from you. Did you know the same God that gives me the encouragement to give to you? You can cut out the middleman. You can get it direct. We're not eliminating your Sunday school teacher from the process. We're not trying to eliminate the bus captain from the process, or the ministry leader, or the pastor, or the husband, or the dad. But I am telling you that it is possible. Teenager, you can encourage yourself. Wife, you can encourage yourself. Husband, you can encourage yourself. Leader, you can encourage yourself. Now, I'm going to talk to you about ways. They're going to be very practical. I'll try to expedite this thing so it doesn't last a long time. But I really do believe we need to learn how to encourage ourselves. Let me say first of all, encourage yourself by remembering and enjoying past blessings. Encourage yourself by remembering and enjoying past blessings. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 76, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant." Here's what God's telling us. Think of God's past kindnesses, and they will encourage your present situation. If I get discouraged and I'm having a rough day, I think of a day that wasn't a rough day, when it was going well and the sun was shining and how good God was to me back then. And you know what? I pull some sunshine from the past into the gloomy present, and suddenly I have sunshine today that I borrowed from yesterday. Let the remembrance of yesterday's kindness bring to mind He is still kind today. If things are not going well today, think of the many days that things were going well. It will comfort you. In other words, folks, visit His past kindnesses, and I will promise you they will encourage you. So when you're having a rough day, think to when you did not have a rough day, and let that influence your attitude today. Number two, encourage yourself by looking forward to heavenly rewards. Encourage yourself by looking forward to heavenly rewards. Let me read a verse to you. Romans 8:18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." What's being said here is, I might be going through a tough time now, but that's nothing compared to where I'm going and what I'm going to get. Look, when you feel like you're suffering loss in this life, remind yourself of the soon coming gain that will be in heaven. So, if I'm having a rough day, it's not only look back at blessings and drag them forward, look forward at blessings and drag them backward. That makes sense? I'm surrounding myself with blessing. I'm by myself. I need to encourage myself. I'll look back at some goodness of God and I'll say, you know what, He's good to me back there, but wait a minute, I'm going to heaven someday, I'm going to get reward and everything in heaven. I've got goodness over there, I've got goodness over there. Right now, I'm having a rough day. You know what, it won't be long. You pull some past goodness in and some future goodness in, it may be that your present is good and it's positive. When you feel like you're suffering loss in this life, remember the next life to come, reach out, and by faith say, hey, I've got some great things coming on the horizon. Just remember how wonderful your future is going to be. Remember that you have future rewards coming. I love the song. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Well, the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. You say, things are my house. I need a new roof. Well, let me tell you something. Your home in heaven, you'll never have to have a maintenance man work on it. It'll be maintenance free. So when you're having a rough day today, think of the day. There's a land that is fairer than day. And He said, by faith, we can see it afar. Let that encourage your today. So, if you want to learn how to encourage yourself, you look back at God's kindnesses, pull some of them into the current situation. You look forward to the reward and the things that are coming in heaven. You pull some of that. You get a little heaven on earth. Number three, encourage yourself by going soul winning. Encourage yourself by going soul winning. You say, oh, I would expect you to say that. You're always harping about this thing as soul winning. Well, there's some of you, you're depressed, but you never win anyone to Jesus Christ. I promise you, you win someone to Jesus, that'll make your day. You say, wonder if it doesn't. Well, it'll make theirs stingy. There's a story of Jesus. There's a woman at the well. The Bible says in John 4:7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Jesus has a conversation with this woman at the well. Then Jesus answered her in verse number 13. He said, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. So we're talking about the exchange of some water, and he's having a conversation with her, and he offers her a drink of living water. In other words, he's presenting salvation to this woman at the well. And she takes a drink of that salvation, and she gets saved. So the woman at the well takes a drink of the water of life, and now she's born again. So Jesus, with the Samaritan woman, won her to himself at the well. The disciples came to Jesus immediately following that and said, Jesus, you need to get some food. We're going to give you some food for refreshment. Listen to what he says in verse number 32. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He was saying, I have refreshment that you're not understanding right now. In verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, what had he just done? He had just won a lost person to Christ. The disciples came and said, you need refreshed. He said, I just got refreshed. By doing what? Winning that lady to Christ. He said, I have energy, you don't understand. I have encouragement, you don't understand. I've got something going for me right now that you don't understand. A little bit of food cannot top what I just did. I just got an encouragement that is fantastic, more important than my carnal desires. I just got a spiritual boost of energy, and it's an energy you're not even understanding. That's what he just said. You need encouragement? You listen. You depressos. You people are depressed all the time. Go win someone to Jesus Christ. Talk about being good to somebody. Wow. You just kept somebody out of hell. You'll get an energy that everybody else doesn't understand. You see, when you win people to Jesus Christ, it takes the Holy Spirit to get that done. You get the Holy Spirit involved with your spirit will change. Your spirit will change. Soul winning gets our eyes off of ourselves. See, when we're depressed, or when we're discouraged, or, if you will, when we need encouragement and our spirit's down, the Holy Spirit can help our spirit to be lifted. Most of the time when we're down, it's because we're looking at ourselves. I'm looking at me, the way I feel, the way I'm being treated, what's happening to me, what I don't have. That's what I'm looking at. Now, if I get my eyes off of me and I get my eyes on somebody else, I can encourage me. Why? Because I got my eyes off myself. So, the sermon is called Encourage Yourself. David did. You encourage yourself by remembering the past blessings and pulling them into the present situation. You encourage yourself by looking forward to heavenly reward and pulling that by faith into today's situation. You encourage yourself by winning others to Jesus Christ, because that takes your eyes off of you and gets it on somebody else. Hey, and to every Christian in here, let me explain. If you're saved, you got it made. If you're saved, how many? Is there 7 billion? 7 billion people on the face of the earth? Anybody knows that sound close? 7 billion people on the face of the earth. You understand how many of them are on their way to hell? You are better off than most everybody on this planet right now. When you get your eyes off of you and on to the lost, I don't care what your scenario is, it is better than somebody that's on their way to hell. That ought to encourage you. Let me go on. Number four, encourage yourself with the thought of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Encourage yourself with the thought of the second coming of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, it says this, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." The previous words were about the second coming of Jesus, or the rapture, with these words. You see, he had been talking about Jesus coming again, and then he said, encouragement comes when you think about those words. Now, I want to recommend something. You say, I'm having a rough day. Well, think about the fact that Jesus is coming again. Read scriptures about Jesus coming again. Memorize scripture about Jesus coming again. Sing a song about the rapture. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Sing the song when we all get to heaven. Tell yourself, Jesus could come today. When Jesus comes, I hope I'm on top side. I hope I'm not a depressed, born again, Holy Ghost filled Christian. You know what? I hope when he comes, he doesn't come and find me going, oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. We can't take it. I hope I'm not freaked out.
Amen.
I hope I'm not depressed to despair. I hope I'm not quitting on everybody and everything. I hope when Jesus comes, he says, you know what? We're not going to have to change your spirit a whole lot. You're going up and it's going to be exciting as you go.
Good.
Jesus could come today. You want him to find you in that emotional mess that you placed yourself in? You dug an emotional hole for yourself and you're saved. Just think. Jesus may come while you're depressed. Let the thought of heaven encourage you. Let the thought of Jesus coming again and finding you in that state require you to get your eyes on the eastern skies and realize he's been pretty good to you. You say, why? Because you're not in hell right now, and that's where we all deserve to be. Encourage yourself. Encourage yourself by remembering past blessings, drawing them into the present. Encourage yourself by looking at future rewards, claiming them, and pulling them into today for encouragement. Encourage yourself by winning someone to Christ, getting your eyes off of you and onto someone who has it far worse. Encourage yourself with the thought that Jesus may come today. Encourage yourself by listening to the right kind of preaching. Encourage yourself by listening to the right kind of preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 3 says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." The word prophesying there is talking about preaching. It's a preaching. Instead there, the preacher brings comfort. You know what comfort is? That's encouragement. That's encouragement. Now, let me read to you from Psalm 119, verse 49. 50, 51, 52, we'll see. I'm going to read a handful of verses. Listen to this. "Remember thou the words unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." I comforted myself. How did I comfort myself? Well, it's talking about a prophet and some preaching and the word of God being preached. You know, the right kind of preaching will encourage you. Encourage yourself. Now, first of all, let me explain to you what happens. People get contrary with God, and then they get contrary with the preacher, and they get contrary with the church. So they withdraw from the preacher, then they start withdrawing from church, and they wonder why they're depressed. Don't let that happen to you. "I'm depressed, so I'm not going to come to church." That's brilliant. "I've got a toothache, so I'm not going to go to the dentist." Right? "I have a flat tire, so I'm not going anywhere near Goodyear." Huh? No, you draw up close. Hey, if you're depressed, you need more church. You need more preaching, not less. I would say in the generation in which we live, thank God we have Sunday school Sunday morning and Sunday morning church and Sunday night church and Wednesday night church. You probably need a little more than that. You probably need to get some CDs and listen to them over and over. The best Christians I know have more preaching than just at church. Find a sermon that encourages you and listen to it many times. Many times. I shared it with Brother Dave. We got an email from a man who was in a very terrible accident, and he's quadriplegic or something like that. He said, been a couple years ago, he said, I can't go to church. He said, I'm stuck. My body's all broken up. I can't go to church. And I stumbled onto your website. I listen to every sermon you preach. Said, it is fantastic, the encouragement that I have. I feel like I can do what I must do lying in this bed because of what I get from listening to what's preached at your church. Now look, if a quadriplegic laying flat on their back, who should have died a long time ago, can get what they need, I'm going to guess you could. But you got to come to church to get it. Hey, you might need to get this sermon. There's some of you, I challenge you. You probably need to get this on CD. You ought to get it. We need the money. But you ought to get this sermon on CD. You ought to outline it, stick it in your Bible, and look at it, because some of you are very discouraged and you're not taking care of it. And it ought to be taken care of. So, you encourage yourself. How do you do it? You pull blessings from the past in the present. You pull blessings from the future back into the situation of now. You win someone to Christ. You encourage yourself with the thought of the second coming. You listen to the right kind of preaching. Then you encourage yourself by encouraging others. Encouraging others. Let me read to you from 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verse number 7. It says, "And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever." Here's what happened. Solomon had died. His son Rehoboam had become king. Rehoboam was facing some very discouraging hardships. He is advised by his father's older, wiser counselors to be kind and speak good words to the people. He said, it's going to help you with the people, but Rehoboam, they said it will help you. You, when you're going through a tough time, being good to others will help you. Hey, look, tell me if this makes sense. You're having a bad day, so you're going to be mean to your wife. Oh, that's going to make things better, isn't it? Oh, see if you get this one. You're having a bad day, so you call your mother-in-law. Oh, right, that's really going to make things better, right? No, what he's saying is, if you're having a bad day, to go ahead and have a bad attitude towards somebody else, what are you doing? You're complicating it. Look, if you're having a bad day, go be good to somebody. Don't go be bad to somebody. Two bads don't make a good. So when you're having a bad day, you go find somebody else and be good to them. Husband, if you're having a bad day, be good to your wife. Wife, if you're having a bad day, be good to your husband. Children, if you're having a bad day, be good to your brother. Be good to your sister. Why? You want to be discouraged? If you want to be discouraged, go ahead and be mean to people and make it worse. Some people bathe in the pleasantness of being discouraged. When I hide myself and I want my spirit to be down, I want it to be squelched, I want to be this way. You ought not want to be that way. That's not the way Christians live. So, go help someone. Go encourage someone else. Make somebody else laugh. Discouragement will turn into depression if it is fed by self-centeredness. I wish I could put on paper some of these words and make some of you really digest them. Discouragement turns into depression if fed by self-centeredness. You go deeper and deeper and deeper. Encourage yourself. Let's go on. Encourage yourself by being sure you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Encourage yourself by being sure you are filled with the Holy Spirit. John 14:16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Brother Edwards, when you got saved, God knew that the preacher wouldn't be around all the time and there wouldn't be people around to encourage you all the time. He said, you know what I'll do? I'll put a big old chunk of me inside you, and if you'll submit to Him, He can encourage you when there's nobody else around. You say, I'm all alone. No, you're not. You've got the same Holy Ghost that everybody else has. I can't do it. I'm sorry, but you've got the same commandments that we have. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Well, where am I going to get the strength? He lives within you. And the problem is not Him keeping Himself from you. It's you keeping yourself from Him. You have all the power you need to overcome your discouragement. You won't use it. Cut God loose in your life. Let Him take over. Push yourself out. Let Him fill you. People that are not filled with the Holy Ghost of God will suffer from depression that are unnecessary. I've got to remember it's Wednesday night and I'm teaching a Bible study. John 14:26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Huh. He comforts from the inside. He's always with you. Ask for His encouragement. He'll give it to you. Then you must act upon the encouragement. Say, I'm all alone. I don't think anybody understands me. Now, first of all, that's very self-centered. Lots of people understand. But if you're saying that all day, nobody understands, nobody understands, nobody understands, nobody understands. That's not true. You're spending way too much time in your own brain. Be careful. Your head's empty. You're going to get lost in there. We may never see you again. Well, God understands. You're not all alone. You have the Holy Spirit of God. Let me ask you this. Are you filled? You say, I'm discouraged, I'm depressed, I'm bummed out, can't make it, can't take it. Here's the question. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost of God right now? Are you? Oh, you're not? Do you want to be discouraged? You don't? Then submit yourself to the Holy Spirit of God and be filled with the Spirit of God. That is, if you don't want to be discouraged or depressed. Let's move on. Encourage yourself by realizing tomorrow will be a new day. Encourage yourself by realizing that tomorrow will be a new day. Psalm chapter 59, verse number 16 says, but I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. In the morning. I'm not really sure when he was saying this, but he said in the morning. I'll teach you a little trick. I think he was saying, I'll be able to sing better in the morning. You know, in Psalm chapter 30, verse number 5, it says, but joy cometh in the morning. You get pretty discouraged as the day goes on. You might toss and turn as you go to sleep, but could I tell you something? If you can fall asleep, you might feel better in the morning. You say, well, that just medically, you're rested. No, the Bible says joy comes in the morning. I wonder how many times at midnight I said, I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can take it. And I cried myself to sleep. You know what, Brother Jerry? Woke up next morning. I got up and I said, why was I acting like that last night? I think I can make it. I think I can take it. I have strength. Y'all ever been through it? Your body, your spirit, humanity is overwhelmed. But while you were asleep, God was awake. God was working. He said, I'm going to put a dose of strength inside you. Tomorrow morning you'll have a little more energy. You'll have a little more I can. And I got rid of some of your I can't through the night. Sometimes you say, what do? Just go to sleep. Now some of you sleep all the time. But everybody can take things too far. God has a way of healing our emotions overnight. Look for God to do a work in the night. Have faith in the morning that it's a fresh new day. Man, you ever been through one of those days where it just seemed like a battle went on all day and all night? You woke up the next morning and somehow the sun was shining, it was fresh, and you said, whew, I needed some rejuvenation. I've got to hurry. Okay, number Number 9, encourage yourself by looking at what you have instead of what you don't have. Encourage yourself by looking at what you have rather than what you don't have. And I'm going to talk very quick and shove a couple more points in. I wish I could take another 30 minutes. Romans chapter 13, verse number 9 says, thou shalt not covet. It's a command of God. Covetousness discourages. Most people are discouraged because they wanted something and they don't have what they want. Expectations will disappoint you. You expected something, you didn't get it, so you're disappointed. So what am I supposed to do? Expect nothing. So what would I deserve? No, you don't. You deserve hell. Well, what should I do? What should I say? Anything's better than hell. You say, that's just religious talk. No, that's truth. Covetousness discourages. My kids aren't the way I want them. Well, listen, nobody's children are the way they want them. But you have to accept your kids where they're at and grow them from there. Covetousness, it causes us to ignore what we have and to look at what we do not have. And that will cause discouragement. Covetousness produces dissatisfaction. Encourage yourself by positively looking at what you have. I was talking to a pastor, had six children. Six children, two of his kids had just gone crazy in the way they were living, like a bunch of animals. And this guy, I asked him one day, he said, Brother Owens, pray for me. He said, a couple of my kids are just, I can't believe the way they're living. I said, well, how do you take it? He said, I spent a lot of time thinking about the other four. I thought, makes sense. You cussed because you had a flat tire. Maybe you ought to thank God the other three had air. Right. See, I got a toothache. You got 30, 31 more? I forget. Anybody here know how many teeth you got? Well, for you hillbillies, I had one. You got one left. It's a lot of it's attitude. It's perception. If you're discouraged, so many times it comes because you want something you don't have. And if you don't get it, you're going to be discouraged. Stop wanting it. Realize it could be worse. Two more points and I'm hurrying. Encourage yourself by staying away from discouragers. Encourage yourself by staying away from discouragers. The Bible says in Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned and avoid them. Here God's saying there's certain kinds of people you ought to avoid. You know, some people are constantly negative. Are you a discourager? You know, I'm not on Facebook, but I would have a hard time being connected to anybody that is negative all the time. Why? I can't afford to be negative all the time. I got to figure out a way to be positive. And we all know it. You lay down with dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas. If you play with a pig, you're liable to end up with a curl in your tail. You're going to smell like a hog. I'm going to tell you, you get around somebody that's discouraged, they're going to discourage you. Kindly avoid people who are down. I've said this for years. And I don't understand it. You know what happens? People that feel like they have a rotten marriage, they get with people who have rotten marriages. Well, that's brilliant. Better get with somebody that's got a great marriage, and is happy and filled with the Holy Spirit. And let a little of that wear off on you. You ever heard that verse in Owens chapter 2? Birds of a feather flock together. I don't know what's wrong with this. Encourage yourself by staying away from discouragers. And then finally, encourage yourself by spending time with encouragers. The Apostle Paul, I wish we had time in Acts 27, verse number 3. The Apostle Paul, he found someone that refreshed his spirit. He said, I need my spirit refreshed. And they got around a spirit refresher. You need to get around somebody like that. Hey, let me tell you this, and we're going to pray and we'll be on our way. Don't if you're discouraged or depressed or down and you need encouragement, let me tell you this. Some people just think on the issue too much. They think on it. Then they talk about it. So they're thinking about the negative. Then they talk about the negative. You know what they can do? They can pray about the negative to the point where they don't pray about anything else. Oh God, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. God heard you the first time. So you think on it and think on it and think on it and think on it and think on it, and you drive your spirit deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Then you talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. And you just get it ingrained in your head. And then you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray in such a negative way. Hey, I'm for prayer, but I can tell you, some people pray themselves into depression. Then they get on Facebook or an email and write about it. Now I'm using every possible way of making sure I'm overwhelmed with my negative. You make it bigger by giving it so much attention. So what should I do? Go to work and be normal. Be normal. Live your life like you're supposed to. Don't spend all your time thinking about it, talking about it. Think about it, talk about it, write about it. Think about it, talk about it, write about it. Think about it, talk about it, write about it. I can't get this out of my mind. Well, then you did that to yourself. Sometimes you just need to go on.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it looks like it could be overwhelming, so we go ahead and let it be. Matter of fact, we invite it to be by giving so much of us over to it. The issue, there's a whole lot more in life that needs to be done, not just the issue. Go ahead and be successful at all the rest of it then. Just a little lesson. I think it'll help you if you listen to what I said. Encourage yourself. Every one of us need to learn how to encourage ourselves. And so, you know, anybody can do what I just taught. A child, a teenager, an adult. Anybody can do that. You say, well, I have an issue and I just can't discuss it with anybody. Well, then God, He'll help you through it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Encourage yourself. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, we welcome you to the Savior. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, you feel like, I got something I needed tonight. I can do that, preacher. God spoke to my heart. I got something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? I can use that. That's usable. You can put your hands down. We'll have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, maybe you ought to come up here and pray. Pray for strength. Pray for help. Hey, pray just to apply the teaching of the Scripture. How we can encourage ourselves. David did it. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar? Let me ask you again. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? I'm down. Well, there's a way to get up. Encourage yourself. What a powerful, powerful scripture. I'm so glad that God gave it to us. I am so glad that God said in 1 Samuel 30, verse number 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. His family had been kidnapped. His friends had been stolen. His city had been burned. All of his loyal men had turned on him. They're getting ready to kill him. And he had to figure out how to get through the mess. And what did he do? He said, well, I will encourage myself. I will encourage myself. And here's the great thing. Most of you have all the encouragement you need available. Now, we're not going to encourage you to do the wrong thing. I have people that want me to help them do the wrong thing. I will not do that. I will not do that. But God knows if you want encouragement to do the right thing, it's available. But you've got Christian brothers and sisters and preachers and ministry leaders all over the place that will encourage you, but you got to accept the encouragement. Say, but they don't agree with me. I'm sorry. We have to agree with God. But encouragement's available through others. Oh, but it's available even when we seem to think we're alone. This is the last time through the song. Ushers, if you'll get the prayer bulletins ready, we're going to get the prayer requests for this evening. Thank you, Rachel.